am 31 years old, which means that I don't think that you could accurately describe what I'm currently experiencing as a midlife crisis. I just think it's a bit too early for that, I hope. Fingers crossed. But I am experiencing some kind of identity crisis. And the more I've talked about this, the more I've heard other people say the same. I've recently read an article about it in The Guardian, I think by Zoe Williams. I'm seeing more and more people talking about essentially the same phenomenon. So if you're feeling like who you really are on the inside and the life that you're living aren't completely aligned, then listen on, because I think there are a lot of us. Essentially, what's brought this about for me is that the person who I was going into the pandemic, in the years before the pandemic, and the person that I am now, the life that I'm living now, are radically different. And I don't think necessarily this is the life that I would have chosen for myself had the pandemic and specifically the lockdowns not happened. I've come out on the other side more anxious, more conservative with my choices, not conservative in any other way, but more conservative with my choices for myself, less likely to make the brave choices. And I feel like it's playing out in every area of my life these days. So I grew up an extrovert. I was into musical theatre. I used to stand on stages and sing in front of lots of people. I was a bit of a social butterfly. I had a lot of friends and I found it really easy to meet new people, to talk to people. And I think crucially what I've learned about being an extrovert recently is that my social battery was recharged by being in social situations. So I just loved being surrounded by people. I was really bad at being by myself, which I don't think is a great quality. I found it really uncomfortable to be in my own company, and I would always choose to be around other people, even if they weren't my favorite people in the world, over sitting on my own in my bedroom in the days before I had access to the internet in there, listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers CDs on repeat. I also grew up a really brave person. I wasn't scared to stand on that stage and sing. I wasn't scared to walk into a room full of people and introduce myself. I wasn't scared to travel on my own. I've lived abroad, I've traveled a lot solo, I've turned up at a youth hostel knowing nobody and stayed there for weeks and made friends. Some of my great friendships were made that way. And when I look back on that now, I think, wow, like, oh, to be her. I used to love piercings. I had a lot of piercings. I had my nose pierced a lot of times. I had my tongue pierced twice. I had my eyebrow done, my lip, my belly button, my hip at one point. Who knew that was a thing? But I think I ran out of things to pierce and I was really scrabbling around there. And nowadays, I had a blood test yesterday and it terrified me. I felt faint. I had to close my eyes. I couldn't look at the needle. I was anxious about it for hours beforehand. I've been thinking about getting my earlobe sorted out. All of my lobe piercings I did myself, or my friends did, drunk in my early teens. I thought about having them balanced out so they're in the same place on either side, but even the thought of turning up in like a nice professional piercing place and having my earlobes pierced is these days so far out of my comfort zone. And when I was in that appointment to have my blood test yesterday, I mentioned to the nurse that I was nervous. I mentioned to her that I didn't used to be scared of needles, but that I have become so. And she said, it's happened to a lot of people since the pandemic. And it was one of those moments where I kind of realized that actually this is not a me thing, it's an us thing. Loads of us are feeling this way. It's what I've increasingly been seeing as I post about this on social media, that there's a whole host of people out there who are feeling the same way. I've been describing it as losing a bit of my spark, and I think other people are saying the same. So I'm going on a mission to find it again, and you are most wholeheartedly invited to come with me via my Instagram channel, via this podcast. I think let's do this together. There is strength in numbers. I would appreciate having you there with me while I tick off some stuff on my list. In a bit, I will read to you my list. I've made a list for myself of things that I want to do that will get me outside my comfort zone. And I want to keep adding to it, and I want to add your stuff to it. As long as it's not jumping out of plane, I think I'm probably game, but I'm starting small and I'm giving blood on Friday this week. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. I think about it about once every 10 minutes and I'm filled with a sense of dread and panic, but I am going to give it a go because I just think there's so much value in taking yourself to the edge of your comfort zone and seeing if you can expand it just a tiny bit. That is what this year is about for me. So one of the big questions I've been asking myself is, how did this happen? And the main answer that I have found is lockdown, is the pandemic, is the health anxiety that I lived with and we all lived with for such a long time. And is the challenge of once your world has shrunk, trying to open it up again. It's much easier, I think, to make your world smaller than to make it bigger again. So before the pandemic, I was living with Ollie, now my husband, and I want to say four other people in a house share in Hackney, and Jess the dog, obviously. And it was busy, and I look back on it now with rose-tinted glasses, but actually I had a really difficult relationship with alcohol and therefore socializing, because I feel like when you're in your 20s, those are hard to separate. So it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, I was in some ways quite actively dissatisfied and maybe a little bit scared by my life and how things were going. But it was a sociable time. I was obviously going to work in an office, so I was getting out of the house every day. I was living with my friends. I was seeing a lot of my friends. And then the pandemic hit and Ollie and I made this decision, which I maintain was the right decision. It was actually a great decision to move in with my parents. So at the first whiff of trouble, my parents extended a formal invitation to us all to go and move in with them. They lived out in the countryside. They had a big garden. And we were thinking, what if it's like, I don't know if you remember this, but in Italy, you were reading that people weren't able to walk their dogs. And we were like, we have to do this for Jess as much as for us. So we packed up our stuff. We actually went a week before the lockdown started for my dad's birthday dinner and then never left again. Ollie drove down to London to get our stuff the day before they called the lockdown. And we ended up staying there for a year, which seems completely wild now I look back on it. And I know that loads of you will be thinking, I cannot fathom spending a year locked down with my parents. And then some of you are probably thinking, wouldn't it be so nice? And it wasn't actually just my parents. It was my grandpa and my brother, Jamie, who's a great egg. And we fully embraced that lockdown. We were really lucky to be more rural. We were really lucky that we already got on well with each other and we have a lot of shared interests. And we were really lucky to have a garden. And I think all of those things meant that we had this, in lots of ways, kind of idyllic summary. That first lockdown, do you remember the weather was incredible and we had quite an idyllic time. If you'd taken a photo of us at any moment, it would have looked like a postcard of an English summer. But this other thing was happening, which was that we were in this terrifying pandemic. We had two high-risk people living in the house, so we essentially shielded. We weren't going out to the supermarket or anything. But that really is a dramatic change from the way that we were living before. It was very isolating. I got really into running at the beginning of the pandemic, and my mum and I would go out for our runs and we would run down the main road where they used to live, the A418, and there would be not a single car. The only vehicles that you would see out and about were ambulances, and they would turn off their siren and everything to come through the village and they would just roll through silently. Sometimes you'd look out the window and there'd just be an ambulance rolling through. And I think I really underestimate what that did to me in terms of the anxiety, especially in a village where you know people and you think, who's that going to? Just a very bizarre feeling. And the other thing that happened to us is that my uncle, who I was very close with, we all were, died at the start of that April. Suddenly, it was a shock. So we did that thing of, I watched his funeral on a Zoom link from our front room. We stuck a sign on the door saying, please don't drop your mail off to the postman. And it felt like such an inadequate way to grieve somebody that you loved so much. So in some ways, idyllic lockdown, in some ways, completely traumatic lockdown. And I think the trauma was so mundane as well that you don't really notice it. But we all must be struggling with it. That's what the woman was saying to me when I was having my blood test. We all became, or lots of us, became anxious about our health and our bodies in a way that we hadn't been before. So because our world had shrunk so much, we really embraced it. We played a lot of bridge. I got really into my running. We played a lot of poop the potato. You know that game where you get a bucket and a potato and you have to hold the potato between your legs and run up and down from the bucket and then you have to poop it into the bucket? I don't know. If you've never played that game with your family, then I would highly recommend it. But that was probably the most fun and outlandish thing we did. We did Zoom quizzes with my partner's family. That was really nice. But we got really comfortable with our small world. And you know who else got really comfortable with it? It's Jess the dog. Between us, Jess and I, when it came time to sort of lift the lockdown, neither of us was ready. We both liked our world small. And I think it felt really painful to try and step outside of that. So it was in that context that Ollie and I made this enormous life decision to move out of London, out of my parents' house, and live in a place where we didn't know another living soul. I think the nearest person we knew was an hour and a half away. We thought, we like our life small. We've tried this, we've tested it, we enjoyed it. We don't need a lot. We don't need to be near our friends. We don't need to be in a place where there's a lot going on. We are content in our own company. And I think that that decision, now that I look back on it, was partially made out of fear. I haven't had a whiff of my sense of adventure since before we went into that lockdown. It's just gone. And instead, there's been this urge to kind of hunker down, nest. We bought this house that's a fixer-upper. Suddenly life was all about DIY and renovation, and who cared what our life was like beyond the walls of our home, beyond these boundaries. It was all about the inside of our house and what it felt like in our cozy living room. Like, was it cozy enough? And was our kitchen a place we could play board games in the evening? And I think we just forgot. We forgot how to party. Definitely. We forgot how to be spontaneous. We forgot the joy of turning up at a friend's house with a bottle of wine at 15 minutes notice on a Friday evening. We just forgot how to do those things that actually bring you a really significant amount of joy in life. And it's now 2024. It's 3 years almost to the day since we moved into this house, since we came out of that lockdown and made this decision to move in here. And I feel like I'm only just beginning to lift the lid on these changes that have happened to me. I'm only just beginning to understand them and the context around them. And as I understand more, A, I'm determined to talk more about it. And B, I'm making a plan. I've decided that I want to see more of the old me. I'm so happy with most of the changes that have happened. Like, I'm a much more settled person. I'm a much calmer person. I'm a much more confident person. I have like a quiet confidence and I'm less shakable at my core, which I think is partly because I've got older and partly to do with kind of sharing my life online and finding something to do that makes me really happy. Shout out to all of you. But I'm not content with the level of adventure in my life. I want more. I want more adventure. And I know that I'm not going to start wanting it until I start doing it. So that's what I'm doing. As an example, I went wild swimming in the sea, which I definitely wouldn't have done a couple of years ago. It was incredibly cold and actually not that fun while I was doing it. But afterwards, it felt great. It was really invigorating. And as soon as I got out, I thought, that was so great, I want to do it again. And I think the lesson I've learned is that as you begin to expand the boundaries of your comfort zone, your appetite to do more and go further grows. So that's what I'm hoping is going to happen. And I've made myself a list. And feel free to jot this down somewhere if you want to borrow my list. But I think you should make your own list. And I think you should tell me what's on it because I want to keep adding to mine. Okay, it's called Outside the Comfort Zone. And here's what's on it. 1, karaoke. I've done that. And not only have I done that, I did it once at a hen do a month ago. Then I did it again at a bar on a night out with my friend 2 weeks ago. So you can now call me a karaoke pro. I always used to have this thing about karaoke that was like, I had to sound great. I wanted people to be like, oh, look at her. She's really good at singing. And now I just want to blast it out of key and have a really fun time. It's a much more enjoyable way to do karaoke. Wild swimming. I've done that. I want to do it again. I went for a dip in the sea in Pembrokeshire. It was freezing cold. It took all of the breath out of me. I felt like I'd been winded. I didn't quite manage to get my head under, but I got my shoulders under and my neck under, and I will count that as an enormous win. Running a half marathon. This is a big one, and I have actually signed up for it later in the year. I'm doing the Oxford Half in October. I appreciate this is a big one and won't be for everyone, but I really wanted to challenge myself. I love running. I run very slowly. I don't set myself any targets, but I've decided that I want to try and run for longer. Going to a day festival. I've written day here because initially I thought a festival, but then I realized that even in my peak party years, I hated festivals. I think I've only been to one festival overnight, and that was Reading Festival 2009. And I bumped into my ex-boyfriend in one of those awful festival toilets. There was somebody making a huge racket in the stall next to me, and it was really annoying me. And as I came out of the loo, I looked to my right and he was stepping out of the cubicle next door, and it was just terrible. And I think it put me off festivals for life, to be honest. Also, where do you go when you get overwhelmed? If you just need a minute out, where do you go? I'm not very good at being hungover. I get quite debilitating hangovers, and the idea of being hungover in a hot, sweaty tent in a car park in Reading just fills me with dread. And possibly bumping into my ex-boyfriend on the way to the horrible, horrible loo. I just don't think I could do it. So I'm starting with a day festival. If anyone's got any tips, I would love to hear them. I think a day festival is more manageable. I think I can do it. I just need to pick the right people to go with. I need to pick the right festival to go to. But I can do this. I believe in myself. Have faith. Next, record a solo podcast episode, which I'm actually doing as we speak, as you know. This feels like a big one, though, because I've always thought of myself as someone, I do better with a bit of planning. And my comfort zone is scripting something and reading it off a script, which feels very different to what I'm doing now, rambling into a microphone. It is certainly scary, and it marks quite a big boundary for me that I'm crossing in a nice way. So yeah, be nice to me, please. Next up is a holiday abroad, which sounds silly, and I have actually done it a couple of times since the pandemic, but it really fills me with dread. The idea of flying, I find quite scary at the moment, and I think I just have this reluctance to move very far from home, and holidaying abroad obviously feels very far from home. So what if I forget something and I need to go back for it? Or what if I don't feel very well, or I have a funny tummy, or I don't know. Also, the idea of leaving my dogs is not my fave, but I need to do it and I need to get better at it. And so I've got a few things lined up this year, actually. One of them is a friend of mine is getting married in France, in Bordeaux, and I'm going to stay out there for a few days extra, which will be lovely and a good warm up, because then I'm going on a 2-week holiday with my mum, my dad, my partner, my siblings' partner. So that's going to be amazing. Really good fun. Lockdown 2.0. And I hope that's just going to like bust me out of this anxious mindset about traveling. Fingers crossed. Keep them crossed for me, guys. Next is a pole class, which I thought was going to be the hardest out of this list to make happen. I don't know why. I just assumed that where I live, nobody was doing pole. I was wrong, because I posted about this on my Instagram stories and somebody got in touch with me and said that they're an instructor at a pole studio around the corner from me, which is so sweet and so exciting. And it actually made me excited to go. So I'm definitely going to book one of those. Slightly nervous because I have zero upper body strength, but I'm going to give it a go. What's the worst that could happen other than bruises and terrible injuries? And humiliation, because I do plan on filming all of these and posting them on my Instagram account, because I have no shame and I love doing things with you guys in tow. Go for dinner on my own. This was a popular one. Lots of people asked me to put this on the list. If I've had a really long and stressful day with the dogs, I will go and have a glass of wine in Bill's and read my book. But somehow that doesn't feel the same as full on going for dinner on your own. And that does make me more nervous, but it's one that I'm really keen to try because I've heard a lot of women tell me that there's real joy and satisfaction in it. I feel like this one is high reward. Take a driving test. I've been actively learning to drive for over 15 years now. It is high time I took a driving test. My first one, it will be. I'm currently having instruction driving lessons with a very nice man called Tom, who is incredibly patient with me, which I'm really grateful for. We're taking it very slowly, painfully slowly, but I'm so nervous that that's the only way. And by the end of this year, I'm telling you guys this now, by the end of this year, I will have taken my first ever driving test. I don't care what the outcome is. I just want to get to the test center and take the test. It will be a huge deal for me. So that is on the list. Volunteering. I've volunteered in the past, but I'd love to find an in-person volunteering gig that makes me feel really good and just get over the threshold, get my foot through the door. It's one of those things that always really appeals to me, but I've rarely had the consistency and the stability in life to do. But now is the time. I'm going to go for it. Next, spin class. I did this one. And can I just tell you, if you are considering spin, if you've ever looked at it and thought, maybe that would be fun, that looks quite fun. Can I just tell you how much I love it? You should go for it. I laugh through half the session, sweat like a pig through the other half. There's something so comical about it. The other day, on Monday, I was in my spin class. The music is really loud and there's kind of strobe lighting. It's quite an intense, like club-like experience. And a song came on and I thought, I really recognize this. And it was like a drum and bass remix of the Game of Thrones soundtrack. And there I was on a stationary bike, strapped in, pretending to cycle uphill, sweating, pink, red in the face. And I also have never seen Game of Thrones, but I was just overwhelmed with this feeling of determination and drive. I don't know what else to tell you. It's a completely ludicrous experience, but really good fun. Do it. Do spin. And last on my list is giving blood. I've never done it. My blood type is O negative, which I believe means that my blood is in high demand and I've been selfish hanging on to it, but I am just nervous about needles. But I feel like my blood test was a good precursor. It's got me into the right mindset. It's proven to me that I can do it. And off I go the day after tomorrow to give blood for the first time. So I want to know what else you would add to this list. I want to know what is on the edge of or way outside of your comfort zone, because the more of these I do, the more of them I want to do. I want to keep up this list. I was thinking maybe one a week for the rest of the year, but I have ADHD and I will really struggle to stick to that. So I'm going to keep it on an ad hoc basis. I feel like that's more realistic and maybe more enjoyable. So there we go. My plan for this series is some of these chatty episodes, some interview episodes where I sit down with people who I really love and admire, and we talk about things that are simultaneously so mundane and also really brave. I hope that it will inspire you and encourage you. I hope that it will inspire me and encourage me. And I hope that some of you are in a similar place to me and have the same appetite to get up, get out, and do something a bit scary, because that means we can do this together. Thank you for hanging out with me here today while I tick another scary thing off my list. This has been my first solo episode. I would love to hear your feedback on it. As always, the best place to contact me is in my DMs over on Instagram. I'm at human.jess, and I love having conversations with people over there, so please do come and find me. You can also drop me an email, jess@worriedwhippet.co.uk. I'd love to hear from you there as well. Tell me what's on your list. Tell me what I should add to mine. Let's do this together.